there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Drop under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and we are at the Rebreather 3 Forum here in Orlando, Florida. It's our backyard of where we operate Scuba Radio every week. And believe it or not, on site with me here at the Rebreather Forum is none other than Bill, the producer. He has actually hit the road with me. Okay, granted, it's about a 20-minute drive from our studios, but he is here at the Rebreather Forum. Bill, please speak and prove that you have been allowed out of the studio.
It's bright here. It's very, very bright. I didn't expect the sun.
Yes, well, that could be understood, considering the 15 years we've kept him in the studio or thereabouts. But he has come out because he really wanted to connect with this Rebreather community. This could be the new level of diving or a new experience for Bill, the producer. And if that weren't enough, you wanted to connect with your UK, your new UK friend.
Not just that, but I did want to come to the Rebreather conference. Is it called?
Forum. It's a forum.
It's a forum. All right. So I wanted to come because it was here, because I was allowed to leave, and because I really want to work on my Roz impersonation.
Yeah, Roz is the marketing guru behind the Rebreather 3 Forum, and she's sitting with us here as we get ready to launch into this event. Of course, at the bar. That's a prerequisite for any kind of dive event, pretty much. Right, Roz?
Absolutely. All the best people meet in the bars.
Exactly. And you... You really have you have no idea what you've already accomplished by getting Bill out of the studio, do you? You have no idea.
Well, I've only just met him, and I spoke to him, a couple of weeks ago, and I said, well, why don't you come out and come and meet us? And you have, and I'm delighted to meet you. And you've surpassed my expectations, Bill.
Yes, well, it's early. So yeah, I'm sure he'll let those expectations down within the next 24 or 48 hours tops. What do you think, Bill?
I've been disappointing women for longer than she's been alive.
Yes, good point. So, but it is. That's a feat in itself. But the idea of the Rebreather 3 Forum here in Orlando this weekend is to bring together a who's who of the Rebreather community and do what? Discuss the future or what?
Yes, we're at a watershed at the moment because we've got Rebreathers entering the recreational world. And we're in for a big game changer. So we've got all the communities in. We've got recreational divers. We've got scientific divers. We've got commercial. We've got military. We've got the US Coast Guard. We've got all sorts of people coming in from all over the world. And
wait a moment. What just happened there? There's certain things that we're not allowed, or maybe we're not supposed to talk about when we do radio. But Rod just pulled two pens out of her...
I was just trying to figure out what was written on her hand, and it looked like she drew a clock to explain to someone what a clock looks like. Is that really what that was for?
No, that's Rebreather technical jargon, right?
It's actually explaining where the Poseidon Press Conference is going to take place later today, because we've got a very exciting event happening later on tonight. Poseidon have got something very magical they're going to unveil. I've had signed a non-disclosure, so I know all about it, but I can't tell you, otherwise I'd have to kill you. And this is showing me, or letting me know, where this big press conference is going to take place. And I know that you're going to be in there, so you're going to get quite a scoop tonight, aren't you, Greg?
Yeah, I am, and we're going to share that with the world, hopefully, a little bit later on. Yeah. Now, see, I'm going to write
down what was on her hand and see if I can figure out.
Well, how about do this? Just write your room number on your forehead backwards. So when we look in a mirror, we'll know where
I'll
we're supposed to stumble back to.
Stick it on the forehead.
Exactly. That's an old trick I picked up from Neil Watson. So maybe we'll have to use that technique later. Because it could be a pretty crazy event here. You get a, you know, the thing is, the divers are a pretty crazy bunch. And these, I'm guessing these rebreather divers might be even a level crazier than your typical diver. Is that a fair assessment, Roz, or no?
To do some of the diving that some of these guys do, because these guys are the equivalent of going up Everest. You have got some world-class explorers here. We've even got an astronaut coming in from NASA who does a lot of spacewalking. So, yes, you need to have a bit of an edge at the far end. But rebreathers can also be for at the recreational level, so you can take it as far as you want to. It's a balance thing.
Yes, it is a balance thing. It's a new adventure. I think rebreather technology, and maybe we'll see some of that at this Poseidon press conference. This is like the new nitrox for the dive industry, isn't it?
Absolutely. I was talking with somebody last night, and we'd met at DEMA 14 years ago, and we were discussing about, at that point, Dive Right had just issued a helium analyzer and how cutting edge it was getting a helium analyzer. And 2 years later, we got a helium analyzer in line with an oxygen analyzer all in one neat pack. And this was, wow, the latest thing. And now with what's happening with rebreathers, yeah, you're absolutely right. It is the new nitrox that's coming online. This is going to be, this is a big water change. This is a big game changer at the moment. So in 5 years' time, 10 years' time, we're going to see the results of that, just like everybody is diving nitrox these days as standard.
Yeah, exactly. It's a different gas. It was the devil's gas at first. Everybody was scared about it and thinking, oh, my God, this is what, Bill? You're looking at me like, what?
Did I miss when nitrox was the devil's gas?
There was a lot of people that when it first came out, it first came out, nitrox was like, oh, no, you don't want to breathe anything except air. That's for crazy people. Mm. And now it's an accepted norm and actually...
Well, actually, you're considered slightly mad if you don't actually dive nitrox because it's a safer gas. And
definitely.
It means that you can actually dive longer you take on less nitrogen, or you can dive it on air tables, and then you've built in some conservatism. So absolutely, you know, why would you not dive nitrox?
That's right. If it's available, I'm diving it. Absolutely. No doubt.
Now, I haven't done this rebreather thing. It's
right.
Just a like a paper bag like I get when I hyperventilate. That's all it is.
And that helium analyzer is just a helium balloon that you inhale, and it makes your voice change. It's a little bit more technical than that.
Are we getting him in the pool tomorrow?
That is the goal, right? And that's one of the things that's going on here at the Rebreather 3 Forum is we have a pool set up, and all the manufacturers are going to have their gear on display, and you can jump in the water and try it out. Is that how it's going to work or what?
Exactly. If you want to come in, you come into the Crew Braille, and you can go and register and bring along your diving qualifications, and you can get in the water. You can try out a unit. You can try out a couple of different units.
You said the Caribe Real. Would you care to translate, Bill?
It's Caribe Royale. It's the resort that we're at.
Okay, I'm just checking. When are you going to start doing your best Roz impersonation here?
I don't need to. She's right here.
Well, no, I thought we were going to have a dueling Roz's. That was the whole idea, right?
Well, I did. That's why I brought my pistols.
I don't know. What's he planning to? Is there going to be a duel? Is that what it is? We're going to use firearms or swords? I thought swords would be a more traditional. It's an arm wrestling. Of course, it's arm. Here we go. And I'm putting my money's on Roz. Wait a minute. Bill's, he's getting a second wind. What is going on here? Look at this. Oh, my God, Bill. Overpowers. Roz.
Thought I was going down.
That is impressive.
That was pretty rough.
That is impressive. You beat a woman in arm wrestling.
I actually almost lost to a woman in arm wrestling is what happened. Now I have to sit down.
Yes. Okay. Good point.
Would you like a cup of coffee with that?
Coffee?
Yes. You were fairly impressed with Bill's impression of you on Scuba Radio, huh?
It was absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're the only one that found that mildly amusing, Roz, but I'm glad you did. No, we have our fun, don't we?
I'm so glad you got him out of the cupboard. It's very nice to meet you.
Out of the cupboard. We had him in a cupboard, too.
That's an English thing.
Oh, it is?
Cupboard.
Is a cupboard kind of a big thing? Or
no.
It's like a small studio 10x10 type deal?
Yes, just a small We would call it a closet. A closet in the United States. That's what you would call it.
Okay, fair enough. See, we're getting way off track here, Roz, but that's just, you just have to go with the flow here, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, but we can get him in the pool.
Yes.
And he's a open water diver certified. Is there any level of certification you got to do to get into this, or you guys train him or show him what to do right from the beginning?
No, there is no level of qualification, but he does need to be a qualified diver. He does need to have his diving qualifications. He does need to be fit to dive and sign the necessary paperwork. And if he can sign all that, then he can go in the pool.
I didn't hear her say anything about you being crazy, so I think you got a green light.
Or clothed. Because I'm really most comfortable naked.
More coming up from the Rebreather 3 Forum next. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry and at an affordable price. Go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
You mean they were only scuba divers?
Professional sea scavengers. This phony head hid the scuba mask. The fin on the back concealed a scuba tube. The flippers on the feet actually helped them swim faster.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We're coming to you from the Rebreather 3 Forum here in Orlando, Florida today. I'm with Roz. She's the marketing guru behind this event, bringing together the Rebreather community in a way that hasn't happened in, like, what, 15 years or something since the last one like this, Roz?
16 years.
16.
Happened in Redondo Beach in 1996, and Michael Mandino organized it, and Michael Mandino is here. He's the guy that invented AquaCore. He was the one who termed the phrase technical diving, and he's talking about rebreathers, which is very cool.
Yeah, and we had him on the show a few weeks ago, and we will definitely catch up with him sometime in the next couple hours, wandering the hallways here at the Carib Real, where they're having housing this event in Orlando. Now, there is a pool event, so you can try these rebreathers. How many manufacturers, how many different rebreathers are going to be available for people to try out tomorrow? Do we know?
I believe there's going to be about half a dozen different units. And the people who are going to be in the pool, they are your top-notch instructors in the world. Because this is such a high-level event, all the top people to do with rebreathers come into the Carib Royale for Rebreather Forum 3. So it's not just a normal rebreather instructor. These guys are the guys that go and push Wookiee, go and push Wakula Springs, go and do Britannic. You know, these are the guy, the leading edge instructor trainers in the world, and you get the opportunity of going and playing with them in the pool, and that's just, you don't get that opportunity very often.
And we're going to need that level of professionalism here, because, you know, when Bill shows up with no clothes, it would throw a typical rebreather instructor, but these guys are used to that, right?
It's all right. I've got somebody very, very special to look after you. His name is Phil Short, and Phil Short is a Brit. And for fun, he goes off in Russia, and he goes up into deepest, darkest Siberia, and that's his holiday. He goes diving in Siberia in the middle of winter. So he's more than capable of looking after you, Bill.
Yeah, and he's used to cold water diving. His name is Short, and so shrinkage probably wouldn't be an issue for him, Bill.
I would imagine that that would be...
I'm guessing she was making a comment about your, you know...
Just saying.
We'll leave it at that, right? But, yeah, so it is a who's who when it comes to the rebreather manufacturers, these guys who've done everything when it comes to this crazy type of diving. But if you want to just come out here and experience these different units, I've had some experience on the AP unit, the silent diving, the Inspiration and Evolution. Yeah, and they'll be here, I know. But there's Poseidon, obviously, we mentioned them earlier. Who are some of the other ones that are... I know there's like Reva, there's all kinds of different things. And I guess we just have to go to the pool and talk to some of these folks and give them a shot. Have you tried a few of these different units yourself, or which ones do you dive with?
I've not been diving enough recently to be diving a unit, unfortunately. But I've dived the Inspiration, I've dived the Dolphin, but this was lots of years ago. I tried a Revo recently, I've tried a Kiss, I've tried a Megalodon. So I've tried half a dozen units.
Yeah, you've sampled them a little bit. And you know, I'm real anxious to try that myself, being that I've done the Inspiration and Evolution, and compare some of these units to see if there's a difference. Because obviously there must be somewhat. They all have slightly different designs and how they feel underwater. And this is really a good opportunity to kind of compare them side to side, or at least have a little experience with them, right?
Absolutely. It means that you can try it out and you can speak to the experts. And it doesn't matter what kind of diver you are, what level you are, these guys are going to be here to answer your questions. So if this is something that you want to get into, come. If this is something that you have got into and you want to know a bit more and get your education pushed a bit further, this is the place to come. There's so much expertise in the room. You've got the top physiologists, you've got the top scientists, the top instructor trainers, all here in Orlando. This gathering doesn't happen very often. As I said, it was 16 years ago. I don't know when the next one's going to be. It isn't going to be next year or the year after or 5 years. It might happen in 10 years' time.
So why is that? Because it's so tough to get the rebreather community together because they're difficult to deal with or something, or what? I mean, what's going on there?
The plan out of this is to get to look at safety and improve safety. And something like this doesn't take 5 minutes to organise. This has taken 3 years of planning, and there's been a big team behind it. And the plan is to try and get consensus on a number of issues to improve safety in the community for everybody across the board. This isn't a whim. This doesn't happen in 5 minutes. And I know that the conference proceedings are going to take a while to come out, because they're going to be getting some more information in, they're going to be editing it, and it's probably going to end up on something like the Rubicon, which is a very useful source of information to do with diving. Just type Rubicon Foundation in and plus diving, and there's lots of papers there that you can go and pull off. And for diving pros, you know, paddy pros, paddy instructors, that kind of thing, it's an incredibly useful resource. You can find out about diving in the Antarctic, you can find out about PFOs, you can find out about physiology. All sorts of aspects are on the Rubicon, and it's free, and the conference proceedings will probably end up on there. And I know that Rebreather Forum 2 proceedings were on there, and they're still downloaded today. They're free. 16 years on, they're still being downloaded. So that's the process behind this, to improve safety across the board for everybody.
Got it. And the key is really to analyze that and make it more safe, because there is a concerted effort to kind of bring this more to the recreational diver market, just like Nitrox was, and there's a lot of concerns like, you know, how do we train these divers? You know, should there be certain standards with all the rebreather companies have to abide by? So that's kind of where it's at the moment, and they're going to be talking about that type of stuff, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what do you think about this, Bill? Does this make you even more interested in wanting to try out these units or what?
I think that if this conference is one half as exciting as Roz is excited about it, it will be unbelievable.
Well, I will tell you that, you know, I was down in Fort Lauderdale the other day for some folks down there from the diving community. I was in Long Beach at the Long Beach Show, and they were talking about this event. This is definitely getting quite a bit of buzz in the dive community, especially amongst the industry professionals that are wondering if this will be, you know, the next wave to kind of give the dive industry a little shot in the arm, so to speak. You think, Roz?
Absolutely. Well, this is so important. We've had people flying from Japan. Last night I collected a load of Aussies and Kiwis. They'd flown for 24 hours, and they'd come
in. What kind of fruit is that? Does that belong?
It's the hairy green stuff.
Right, okay.
No, we've got people come in from Australia and New Zealand.
Oh, okay. That explains it better for us. You got to remember, we're goofy Americans, Roz. We have to have certain things explained to us. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. And we've had Brits come in across the pond. We've got guys from Europe coming in. So we've got people flying in from all over the world because this is so important. So for the local Floridian divers, this is just on your doorstep. I mean, it's just so easy to turn up. And you just turn up, you register. If you can bring cash, that would be so much the better because it gets you in the door. And for a day pass is $130. We've got some amazing goodie bags, and the toys in the goodie bags are just beautiful.
Yeah, toys in the goodie bags.
Yes.
Sounds like we came to the right place. You think, Bill?
I'm going to get batteries.
Okay. And we'll be back next. Stay close. More coming up from the Rebreather 3 Forum here in Orlando. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg, the Dive Master. Bill, the producer here with me as well at the Rebreather 3 Forum right here in Orlando, Florida. And we've been talking to Roz. Now, it is a who's who of the Rebreather diving community. And then a bunch of hanger-ons like myself and Bill that just want to give this Rebreather thing a shot. It really is an impressive gathering of folks that are interested in this aspect of the sport, including Dr. Nick Bird from Divers Alert Network. Nick, how are you?
Hey, good to be here, Greg. And I've always wanted to be a hanger-on, and I get to be one this time.
No, you're one of the players. He's not a hanger. He's actually on a panel. You're going to be having a discussion in about what aspect of rebreather diving there, Nick?
The primary aspect that I was asked to talk about very briefly was sort of checklists or the utility of checklists and how we could think about that when we're traveling with rebreathers.
Interesting. Now, you know, I'm learning to fly, and they live and die by checklists. And when I learned...
Literally.
They do. Well, true. And when I got my rebreather certification last year, my instructor in Grenada was constantly referring to flying the rebreather.
Yes.
Are you hearing that a lot yourself?
I think that the flying community, as a prior flight surgeon myself, I understand that community pretty well, is a very, very good analogy. Just as you said, people live and die by these things. If you actually go by the checklist, you have a much higher percentage of opportunities to not have a bad outcome.
Right.
So,
and we don't like those.
No,
those are bad.
It
keeps Dan busy. It gives him a lot to study, but that's not the kind of thing. What?
All right, so is he on this panel to try and make sure they get more business for Dan?
No, it's not business. It's just, but, you know, you guys analyze accidents and try to keep people from making those same mistakes, right?
That is correct. But, of course, our goal is to have people not get injured. Yeah, I think we're one of the few business models that are absolutely completely self-defeating. Our goal is to put ourselves out of business by having everybody be safe.
Yes, that would be a nice thing. And they're doing their part in participating in the Rebreather Forum here and giving plenty of support. And they got a Dan tip for us next. You know, this ought to be.
Oh, I have a Dan tip.
You do?
Always remember, Dan is just NAD spelled backwards.
Okay, that's why Dr. Nick does them with me, and we got that coming up next. All I can say is I'm sorry. We've brought him out of the studio. What are you going to do?
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Radio, diver's consumer tip number 301. Remember, soft weights can double as a beanbag. So feel free to throw a spirited game of cornhole at your next party.
I am Cornholio.
Oh! Hey, take your mask off the next time you throw that thing, buddy.
Get off my case, hippie.
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving safety tip. And in the studio is Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. What are you doing over there, Nick?
I'm just reading a news story I found on the internet. It's amazing.
What, the story? I don't know. I can't see what you're reading.
It's not the news story. It's the fact about how easy it is to get information. It's really unreal how much is at our fingertips. And for divers, wow, I can't even calculate how much more there is out there than there was even a decade or two ago.
You're right. It's come a long way. I remember when the only information resource a diver had was the guy at the dive shop.
And there really wasn't much else, was there? And that guy was not always the most reliable source of information.
Have you ever stopped to count the number of resources divers have available to them today?
Shoot, off the top of my head, I can think of about half a dozen.
You still have to count the dive shop as one.
Not just one, but number one. A diver's local dive center or instructor is still going to be the primary source of information. It's where a person learns to dive, acquires skills, and builds their initial diving network, and has their first interactions with sharing of personal experiences and advice. The dive center and instructor will always be very influential and a critical source of information for divers.
I think they're also terrific resources when it comes to advising on gear choices, dive travel, finding other divers. Some even have a dive club to keep you involved and informed.
Absolutely. And they can keep your education going with advanced training.
There's just no end to the information from dive centers and instructors, is there?
Well, that's why I'd rank them as number one.
I can think of one other reason they're great. A lot of times they're the introduction to the other greatest resource a diver has available to them.
And that is?
Dan.
Oh, that's nice. Thanks, Greg. But we certainly try, and it's our mission, to be the go-to resource for divers. It's why all of us go to work every day.
The emergency hotline alone makes Dan an incredible resource. Any diver with a diving emergency can call the hotline and get help, right?
Diving or non-diving emergency, and you can even call Collect.
Doesn't get any easier than that. In addition to the hotline, there's a separate medical information line, also staffed by dive medics.
Yes, and any diver with a medical question can call and utilize that resource. We also maintain a physician network to help connect you with medical professionals in your area who are familiar with diving and diving medicine.
And there's the research you do, the training programs you develop.
Everything we do is geared towards making diving and divers safer. And all the information we have towards that end is information we happily share.
And we appreciate you for it.
Thanks.
So what other resources do you use?
Well, I like reading dive publications and websites to stay up to date.
How many of them do you read?
As many as I can. It seems like each one has something of interest, and there really is something out there for every interest and skill level.
They cover a lot of ground, too. Dive travel, dive gear, topics of common interest, local info, education tales, news nuggets, upcoming events, even op-ed sections, and some. There's not much they miss. And that doesn't even cover the specialty magazines.
Dive publications and websites are a great way to learn and stay informed.
How about books? You notice how many books there are in diving these days?
Yeah, and the list goes far deeper than instructional or equipment manuals these days. You got history, adventure, biographies, even fiction.
I know, it's great. I wish I had time to read them all.
I'm not sure there is enough time to read everything available. I mean, if you tried, when would you have time to listen to the radio?
Time I like to hear people set aside.
Absolutely. I mean, you are the first radio show dedicated to diving, and divers should listen every week. Your show is entertaining and informative.
Oh, shucks.
I'm serious. I think it's great that there's a whole show out there just for divers. And then there are movies and TV.
It is amazing how far we've come, but I think we're forgetting to mention one good old-fashioned resource.
Other divers?
Other divers, right.
And I think they're my favorite of all. No matter how high-tech this world gets, no matter how many books and publications are available, I still love to sit around with a bunch of divers and hear their stories, advice, opinions, shared experience, and war stories. There's no substitute for it. And it really is amazing what you can learn just by listening.
It all goes back to that guy in the dive shop, doesn't it?
Where would we be without him?
No matter what your question, interest, or general curiosity, there are lots of places to go to learn more. Divers today have more information resources at hand than ever before, and there's something to be gained from all of them. So choose one or choose them all, but use them because they're there for you. Do that and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
And we are back at the Rebreather 3 Forum here in Orlando, Florida. This is where everybody who's anybody in the rebreather industry.
And me.
And Pete from Scuba Board. He's here, of course. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. Isn't this a great party?
It is a nice one. We're hanging out at the bar. Actually, Poseidon just had a press conference, and we're hanging out at the happy hour event after the press conference. They've been gracious enough to provide a drink or two for Suds, yes, and that drew quite a few. That drew one of the biggest contingencies of press I've ever seen.
Did you notice what he did, though? He kicked everybody out except for the press and made us stay behind like we had done something naughty after
yes.
class.
Well, yeah, that's fairly typical. But they debuted a new tech version of their rebreather, the Mark 6, right, Pete?
No, the Mark 6 was the non-technical.
No,
this
but
is
this was
the Poseidon Tech.
What did I say?
You said it was the Mark 6.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean the Poseidon.
The Poseidon Tech. It's
the
Poseidon.
No, but the consumer version of
it's
their.
It's called the Mark 6.
So I did say that right. So
wrong.
What? No, it helped
you
me
said
out.
It, you said it backwards. What they've had all along is the Mark 6. What they have now is the Poseidon Tech.
Right. Okay. Well, but what I was saying, they had the. Yeah. Okay. Well, you guys cleared it up.
And actually, the Poseidon Tech is two Poseidon Mark 6s.
That's two rebreathers in one.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. It has a fully redundant system. Or two
fully redundant, fully redundant electrical system for the electronics.
Right, which is, well, yeah, okay, it's not like two bladders, I guess.
You don't have two scrubbers. You don't have two hoses going in there. It's like a typical rebreather, except they have two completely independent electronics in there that will fail safe over without you even knowing it happened.
Yeah, and it looks really cool, too. It has a neat little high-tech window, retro type of way. It kind of reminds you of like 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, something like that. You think, Bill?
Or the Poseidon Tech.
Yeah,
it reminds
but
me
I
a
mean,
lot of the Poseidon Tech.
But it looks
the
cool.
Rivets.
Yeah, the rivets made it look classic diver-like, like a commercial diver helmet type of vibe, you think?
You know, I thought it was techier than that. I thought it looked really good. It's all black with the silver rails on it. It looks good. It looks great.
Yeah, it looks really good. Now we have one of the folks here, James from Poseidon. How are you? Welcome to Scuba Radio.
Thank you very much. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, well, I should say thank you for having us here at your event. That's an impressive piece of machinery you just showed off to the world, wasn't it?
Yeah, we're really excited about Poseidon Tech because it basically takes safety and rebreathers to a totally different level where what it does, as Jonas, our CTO, said, is it enables the diver to go from that, what do I do now, to what do I do next, which is a completely different set of decision-making processes, and that's huge.
Yeah, that is one of the biggest hurdles for the recreational dive market, is making these things a little bit more accessible and taking out some of the mystery and I don't want to say danger, but there's that mystery about it, and having a redundant system like this helps these divers deal with this, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, ironically, it's more the redundant system's more important for technical diving, because within the recreational diving, the simple thing is, and you can't see this on the radio, but I'm going to do a special bailout maneuver, which
right.
is simply moving a mouthpiece that allows the recreational diver to go from closed circuit to open circuit, which is what you can do on the Poseidon Mark VI.
Right.
In a technical environment where you've got more challenging dives, that's when perhaps bailing out is not actually the best solution, even if you have a problem on the loop. The difficulty is, of course, if you have to make quick decisions, you may not make the best one because you're stressed, heart rate's increasing, respiration's increasing, and so forth. This gives you the time to make really good decisions.
Yes. It has some fail-safe, so if you make the wrong decision, it's actually going to stop you from adding oxygen when you shouldn't be adding oxygen.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so and that, you know, we need these fail-safes for people like me and Bill, who are a little bit more new to this technology. Now, the Mark VI, you can actually buy an upgrade kit to go to the tech version. Now, is that going to be a progression? Maybe? Well, you know what? Let's take a break, and we'll talk about that next, because this is interesting stuff. We're at the Rebreather 3 Forum in Orlando. Stay close.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Hi, this is Richie Kohler.
And I'm John Chatterton.
And you're listening to Scuba Radio.
Yowza. This is the world's first radio show dedicated to diving. Come on, yeah!
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master. Richie Kohler, you just heard him. He is wandering around here at the Rebreather 3 Forum. We're going to talk to him in just a bit. He's way too busy right now to gab with us.
He's stalking me, Greg. I tell you, he's stalking.
He might be, yes. But he's hanging out here, picking up what he can, I guess, about the Rebreather 3 Forum. Bill, the producer, is out of the studio for once, eating a yellow fish. Gummy something. What is that?
Peter from Poseidon just gave us some weird fish, and they're delicious, and they're excellent for radio.
Right. Peter, welcome to Scuba Radio. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
Now, what is the deal with the yellow fish?
It's yellow Swedish fish. That's, you know, it's
it matches the Poseidon logo, and they're tasty.
Thank you.
That's all you need, right?
That's all we need.
Yeah, see, they're very gracious here, and they're feeding us filling us full of booze.
And alcohol.
Yes, men can survive on fish and booze.
Really, there's no better combination than a Bud Light Lime and a lemon Swedish fish.
Yeah, don't breathe on me again, please. Anyway, we are having a good time hanging out here after the Poseidon press conference where they just released the Poseidon Tech. You're very proud of this new device, as you should be. It's pretty impressive technology.
Yes, I'm proud of the company. I'm proud of the effort that the whole team put into this. And I'm very proud of the technology that we just launched today.
Now, James was talking before about the... how this will work in the recreational industry. And I'm relatively new to rebreather diving. I got certified last year as a rebreather diver, and I'm anxious to try out your gear. What about this revolution? You're seeing it with rebreather sales. I've kind of compared rebreathers as the new Nitrox for the dive industry. Do you see that coming?
What we experience with a lot of our tri dives is basically the same experience that I had. Once you try it, you don't really want to go back to diving on open circuit if you don't have to. It's just in so many ways a so much better experience, and in my opinion, and that's really why I'm here. I got sold on the equipment. I was like, I want one of these.
Yeah, and the trick is getting over some of that those equipment issues that you have to deal with, whether it's traveling with them, and you're starting to address that, the redundancy for tech divers and that kind of stuff. Yes, Pete, from Scuba Board.
So what you're saying is this is more like Scuba Crack rather than Scuba Nitrox.
Maybe. I don't know. If you want to make, I'm not so sure that would work in the marketing material for Poseidon. What do you think, James?
I personally don't like any cracks in my scuba gear, which is why I joined Poseidon. We don't have any cracks in our gear.
Yeah, we'll leave the cracks to the plumbers. We're divers.
And, I'm getting high on my own supply constantly then, and that's not good either, I've heard.
Yes, well, okay. Well, that's a whole other show maybe. I don't know. But it's good stuff. You guys are seeing really strong sales for the rebreather market.
Yes.
You think the market's there, and you do feel it's going in that direction, you think?
Yes, we are.
Now, where do you go with this? This new unit you debuted here at the Rebreather 3 Forum, you said earlier it's going to become available in November or just start shipping in November around the DEMA show.
That is correct.
So it'll be available to divers then, or
yes,
start shipping then? Both?
Well,
a little bit of both.
That's the same thing for me. Yeah. When we ship it, you can dive on it.
Okay, yeah. So they can go
and dive. We're driving on it already now, but for the main audience.
And that's worldwide, or is it gonna? Is it globally. Already? It'll be worldwide same time.
Greg, mm-hmm. We'll be picking ours up at DEMA, I guess.
Exactly. Now, the prices haven't been released yet, but when we get closer to DEMA, you'll release that, and we'll obviously let people know.
Just give them your credit card, and they'll just charge you when it's time.
Is that how it is? Yeah. Can you make a deposit on these things 2, already?
2,000 easy payments.
2,000 easy payments of, well, we don't know what the price, but that's a lot of payments, but that'll work.
Is this the Popeil Pocket rebreather?
It might be. You never know. You get free gummy bear fish with every purchase, I'm guessing. Right? So where are you guys? You mentioned, are you serious? You're going to go to the Keys? You were talking during the commercial break that you're going to come down and bother Pete from Scuba Board in the Florida Keys.
I'm going to do a royal swim by. That's what I'm going to do. Doing the Keys next weekend.
A royal swim by.
Yeah, exactly.
That sounds like something my producer would do without clothes or something.
That would be a royal flush that he would do.
Yes, but that's
royal
just...
flush.
So are you going to be diving the rebreathers? Are you guys out there testing these things right now, or are you still working on prototype stuff, or what?
Absolutely. We're going to be next weekend. We're working with a group of instructors from SSI. We're also actually working with a group of instructors from TDI earlier on in the week. in Jensen Beach, and we're going to be looking at the technical end of our rebreather the program, which obviously is they're very excited because they didn't know about this either. So now they're going to be the first guys to be seeing this. So that makes an extra lot of fun for us.
What is different about it compared to some of the other units that are out there?
Well, I mean, the effort and the objective that we started out with was to really to make a recreational rebreather safe and simple enough, plug and play for anyone. Even someone who's never dove before could have his or her first dive on a rebreather.
So you're doing this exactly opposite everyone else. You've created the basic rebreather and you're going to tech rather than making a tech and trying to dumb it down.
Exactly.
Well, yes and no, which is a very good Swedish answer. Because if you look at this, this is the Mark VI. Certainly is. But the Mark V CS Luna was actually the most badass cave diving piece of equipment, which was fully redundant dual rebreather. Everything was redundant on that piece of equipment. And that was absolutely the most advanced rebreather in terms of technical diving that had been produced to date, and actually remains so from the point of view of its full redundancy. What we did, though, was actually take all of that technology and compact it down into a rebreather that was simple enough for the recreational diver to use. And the reason we could do that was because of the code that was originally driving that equipment. We improved it, amplified it, and simplified the user experience for the recreational rebreather.
I'll tell you, you had me a badass. So we'll leave it at that. Hour two is on deck. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to rebreather diving this week, I think.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.